Hi, good morning. Thanks for coming today. Here we are. So I am talking about a shared data warehouse that we've been creating and we have created in Colorado. And I'm at the University of Colorado Health Science Center out at Anschutz, but I've been working with the Colorado Community Managed Care Network on this project. And we created something that we call the Colorado Associated Community Health Information Enterprise, or CACHE. And when we started this project, we said we needed a catchy name, and we kind of worked from there, and now you have it. So, I have the same disclosure. I think I should also disclose that my talk will not be nearly as inspirational as Cornel West, so I can't hold a candle to that. But I am talking on behalf of a number of us, Art Davidson, who's at Denver Health, Jason Greer, who's our Chief Information Officer for CACHE, Dan Tatur, who's Executive Director of the Colorado Community Managed Care Network, and there's been a host of other people involved in this project. But we've also received support from ARC, from HRSA, from the Colorado Health Foundation, and investment from the community health centers in Colorado, and none of this would happen without them. So my objectives for today, I just kind of want to describe what our purpose was in designing the data warehouse, how we went through gathering user requirements, a little bit about the design and architecture of the warehouse, and then some of the challenges that we had along the way. So just kind of an overview, our purpose was to really provide services that the health centers could use for quality improvement, for mandatory reporting, and for kind of payment reimbursement issues, along with informing kind of broader stakeholders of information that they could use for policy and advocacy work. All 15 health centers are members, although we don't have everyone's data in the system, and I think now there's a 16th. We're also getting some interest from physician organizations, IPAs, kind of outside of the community health centers, and one being IPN, which is in Northern Colorado. We started this project in 2006, and in addition to the Colorado Community Managed Care Network, we're also working with the Colorado Community Health Network, which is another network organization that does policy and advocacy work for the health centers in Colorado. You're probably all aware of this, but you know, it's always important to me to think about data and information, and the cycle is how we like to think about it. So we started out somewhat with kind of information requirements, but this really is iterative. And we know that, you know, we have to capture data, we have to manage it or manipulate it, we have to turn it into information, and we have to do this all because, or we have to do it in ways that allows us to use the information strategically. So often we have to begin with those requirements, well, how do we want to use the information? But what we find is that as we go through this process, the information that we develop for use often generates new requirements. So it is this cycle. And I don't see this as ever ending. And many of you have probably had experiences like that where you begin to ask information and you kind of feel like, okay, now that I know this, I want to know this. And you kind of work down almost like the layers of an onion. So we started with user requirements, and what our users really wanted is they wanted to be able to do kind of quality reporting for internal quality improvement, you know, PDSA cycles, and also for projects that may be funded externally or for which they would want to get funding for. There's a lot of mandatory reporting that the health centers have to do, and they wanted that to be easier for them. They also wanted to benchmark against each other so that they could identify best practices. If one health center seemed to be doing very well in tobacco cessation, well, we wanted to be able to identify that and share kind of their knowledge, their experience, their processes with others. And knowing that, you know, the health centers are not all alike. Some are very small with a limited number of providers, and some are very large with multiple sites and more resources. We also knew that we had to keep abreast of changing kind of guidelines and changing metrics, and that this was going to be important. We started out with something that is referred to as business process analysis, and I don't know how many of you are familiar with that, but it's really, we went in and did kind of you know, half-day interviews with community health center staff saying, well, what do you want to do? How do you do it now? Really trying to understand their workflow so that we could create a system that was going to be beneficial to them and meet their needs. We wanted to understand kind of the barriers and facilitators that they had to what they do and really come up with a wish list. And when I think of the user requirements, we kind of divided it up into different users. And for the most part, I'm talking about the health center users. And so there's the provider that might use a system to get information. There's kind of a quality improvement director or practice manager that might look at a practice overall and want information about the overall practice. And then there's the network, kind of the community, you know, managed care network or community health network that might want to get information from all of the different health centers for advocacy and policy. So a lot of different users of the information. And then we also worked, and I'm not going to talk about this so much today, but we looked at user requirements for like administrators of the system. What do they need to be able to do? You know, who can do what? Who can see what? What are the roles and authorizations of the different users? That's not so much the focus today. So this is one of our use cases, and this is after talking to, you know, many centers, we kind of came back and we made a schematic of what we thought we learned and how we put this together. So I'll just, and this is very iterative, so I have to start somewhere, but I think it all feeds together, which is what the diagram helps illustrate. But if, and I'm sorry, you know, it's pretty dense, but if we start with some of the yellow, so one of the, we knew some of the things that we wanted to do, the providers wanted to improve point of care services. So in addition to just kind of providing a report on the quality of care they were delivering to diabetic patients, they also said, well, you know, we want registries too, so let's not leave that out because we want to improve care at the point of care. Directly below that, they want to improve population-based services. And then, you know, we also wanted to improve when we had the opportunity, we wanted to make sure that we had the information to help support improvements in payments and reimbursement initiatives that may be coming down the pipeline. So we wanted to do those things. In blue are kind of our, this blue circles are our inputs. So where is information coming from? So of course, you know, it all begins with a patient coming to the clinic on the left. We also knew that there were guidelines down in the lower box here, that there was guideline information and we needed to be concordant with that. So things that we did, we looked at, okay, where's the information from the clinic and what are the services that CACHI's going to provide, and that's kind of the larger box to the right. And we had data quality reports, patient-specific reports, population-level reports, required reports, things that were internal to the health center, and information that might support payment. Some of the things that came up as we did this is that we learned a lot about, well, how do the health centers keep up with evidence-based guidelines? You know, where does this information come? Who incorporates it into how care is going to be provided? And you'll see one of the things that we have in blue here is this whole issue of templates, and I'm going to get into that a little bit more later, but I just want you to think about that because one of the problems, one of the challenges we had is that to do this work requires kind of the electronic health record systems to be very rich and detailed. And sometimes, you know, when we're taking care of patients in the clinic, we're not thinking about what the quality report's going to look like or what information we necessarily need on the registry all the time and whether our electronic health record supports that. For now, almost all of the health centers in Colorado have electronic health records. Some are just kind of getting them implemented now. But we relied on kind of knowing that we could get information from an electronic health record. At this point in our data warehouses, you know, we do not have any kind of claims data or anything like that from Medicaid, but we are exploring that. And I'm happy to be interrupted with questions. We have a pretty small group today, so if anyone has any questions. All right, so some of the other things that we heard from our users is that, and some of the problems that they were having, they wanted to look at outcomes over years potentially, but they wanted to be able to look at processes kind of over months. So if they instituted a new or implemented a new processing clinic, like, okay, now we're going to have the medical assistants ask everyone about tobacco cessation when they come in, while they're taking vital signs. They wanted to know, you know, is this process working, and not wait years to answer questions like that and be able to compare it month to month. We wanted to be able to address things at the patient level and the encounter level. So again, to use tobacco cessation as an example, you know, was this patient kind of advised to quit smoking within the last year, or at how many encounters did we advise patients to quit smoking? So we wanted to be able to look at both of those things. We knew that we wanted to do analyses kind of obviously patient level, but also the billing provider, the designated primary care provider. Clinics were very interested in how their pods or teams were working. So within an organization, we wanted to be able to break it down by location, clinic, and pod. And if people did develop custom kind of queries or reports, we wanted to be able to share those. So we wouldn't have to recreate the wheel. We started, in addition to kind of a technical team, we started with what we called a clinical advisory work group. And this work group's goal was to lead the process in developing consensus and developing actionable information. We would meet twice per month for an hour and really kind of set priorities for what are the disease or conditions that we want to focus on first, what's happening kind of nationally and locally that we need to be aware of regarding kind of quality metrics or reimbursement issues. And we really collaborated with the technical teams to kind of work on this. And so you've probably all, you know, seen something like this. I mean, you get out of your data systems what you put into them. And so we knew this right away. You know, I think personally that docs provide a lot more care and collect a lot more information in patient visits than we ever have time to document. You know, otherwise our documentation time already almost equals the amount of time we spend with people. And it could probably take even longer if we were to document every single thing. But we really, you know, when you start giving people reports on the quality of their services at an individual provider level, I think often they're shocked because they're like, what, I do more than that. But part of the barrier is finding it in the electronic health record systems. And we aren't using any system that uses natural language processing or scans text notes. So we're really looking for things that's entered in a coded kind of structured fashion. And a lot of care is not entered in that way, or isn't entered, or is entered with some, you know, acronym that only the user knows what it is, but it signifies they did the work. We just can't pull it out. So there was a big learning curve kind of with people being satisfied with that and just how we're going to improve that. So as soon as we get to the measures and outcomes, I think it helps feed, you know, well, what are we doing with documentation and collecting information? So what we did is we also focused on creating custom templates for some of the diseases or conditions that we were interested in. And so we had health centers create custom templates for tobacco cessation, for pain management, for diabetes care. And some of the health centers already had these because they were using these custom templates and or flow sheets already. But some of them created them, and what we kind of discovered is, you know what, why don't we make guidelines for what should be in these templates, or, you know, recommendations for what should be in the template as we're looking at the guidelines and creating what the quality metrics are going to be and determining what the docs want reported in the registry. Well, that should feed what's also in the template. So it kind of brought a new process for how we kind of gather and use all of this information. And as you can imagine, this is a lot of work. I mean, this takes a lot of people kind of looking at this and to come to consensus among all the health centers. It really takes a lot of work. And then it takes money too, if you're gonna go back and build a custom template in your EHR and have that, you know, implemented. So here's an example of one of the tobacco flow sheets from one of our health centers. And, you know, you can see what they've got the ask, advise, assess, quit date, you know, how did they assist? Looking at the assist, you can see referral to the Colorado quit line. You know, what happens if that number changes, if the quit line gets a new name? I mean, there's some, you know, maintenance and expense that goes along with doing this work that really needs to be considered. What was prescribed to assist? Was there a referral? What was the follow-up? So other things that we know kind of coming down the pipeline, how many, you know, how many custom templates can a provider be expected to fill out for any one patient? So you think of someone, you've got your diabetic patient who smokes, who maybe also has chronic pain, and all of a sudden you're up to three templates, and how does this fit into the note, and how do they cross-feed? So there's a lot of work that has to be done with the EHR vendors and a lot of consideration, and I can't say that I know right now, today, is this, you know, is this pragmatic and feasible for health centers to be doing this, or for anyone to be doing this, to be creating the custom templates in the EHR and expect this to get good documentation. But we started down this road with several several diseases and conditions that were particularly important to our health centers. This is, and I know you can't read all of this, but it is basically what we would be working on as we came to consensus. So we always started out with, well, who are our patients? So it's a health center patient, you know, they have to be alive, not moved or gone elsewhere. So we would define who our patient is. We set consensus around things like for the quality reports, a patient had to be seen within 18 months. But for a registry report, it could be that they were seen 2 or 3 years ago, because we felt like there was a big difference between reporting quality and trying to bring people maybe back into our system that needed to be seen. And we didn't want to kind of have too many, we didn't want to have people be part of the denominator of a quality report if they really weren't kind of a health center patient. But we did feel that having them on the registry allowed health centers to also kind of clean up their systems if patients really had moved or, you know, had so that kind of thing. And then we went through and we kind of defined the numerator and denominator for each metric that we wanted to follow. And it went on so far for this because it was mainly based on custom templates. It's not evident here, but for things like diabetes, it was right down to, you know, these are the ICD-9 codes we're using, these are our exclusion ICD-9 codes, or this combination of medications. And so it was very, very specific. And we also track some of our discussions that we had, which is the last column. So in our data warehouse, these are the different domains, and this is kind of our data model. So you know, we have encounters, lab orders and results, immunizations, vital signs, medications, documents, of which there are not many, but it may be something like a pain contract or pulmonary function test results, and often it's just presence or absence type information. Medical conditions, where we included allergies, family social history, problem lists, and then there's a master data set that has kind of all the standardized vocabularies or things that we may want to link to. People, organizations. So data elements, which is essentially what I just showed you. And this is our architecture for the system. So beginning with our source system to a staging area to the data warehouse, which has normalized data, to our data marts that actually have kind of, it's almost like pre-computated outcomes and registries. And then we have our reporting and analysis system. This is similar, and I'll skip this. I think I got the time signal here, so. And this is the way we're set up with CACHI data warehouse is in the center, but we have data marts for any health center that is involved in the project so they can have specific access to just their data if they require that. And I think data quality is an issue, and just one of our vendors actually made this slide for us. And they really gave us an example. You know, there are some things that when you get to data quality, some things need to be addressed at the health center. So if the date of birth is invalid, then they need feedback on that. If it's something where race, ethnicity is not entered correctly, feedback is helpful, but there may be something in the kind of extraction process that we can correct. And then the final step, the kind of category CD, is really where we standardize across the health centers things like, well, you call a hemoglobin A1C this, and you call it that, but in our data warehouse, we need a common definition. And so, you know, we spend time doing that, and that's, again, a lot of manual work, but very essential to the whole project. This is one of our quality reports, and this is very, data quality report. So we would get these back from the vendor and kind of review what we needed to improve, how critical the issue was, and how to give feedback to the health centers or make corrections in our own processes. The clinical categories that we've worked on are outlined here, so you can see it's probably everything that most physician offices, primary care offices are interested in. And then this is an example of one of our reports, and this is not fancy, but you can see, you know, we have the N and then the percent, and this has to do with tobacco. And this may have been, I don't want anyone to focus too bad on like, well, boy, did we refer a lot of people or not? Until we got the templates really in flow, we didn't really have this data to capture. So it was difficult, and we saw improvement just with the templates. One of our health centers spent some more time and investment of their own money to actually be building dashboards, and this is for diabetes and depression. So this is, you know, we're hoping that we can have this eventually for all the health centers. And then scorecards, where they set their own kind of benchmarks or targets. So are they, you know, off target, and are they improving? And then just a word of thanks to the people that helped me put this together. So, cool. Are you doing questions at the end? Yeah. Or?